George Bernard Shaw said, make it a rule never to give a child a book you would not read yourself. This hour, the best new children's books for giving this holiday season. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Get your pens ready. Today we will find out about the best new books for kids. Sue Davis of River Lights Books in Dubuque and Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City will be here today. They've made their lists, including picture books, poetry, nonfiction, chapter books, young adult books, and yes, even a classic or two. So get ready to add a few to your wish list. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's time for our annual holiday kids book show. Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City is here, and Sue Davis of River Lights Books in Dubuque. Hello, Barb.
Hi, Charity. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Thank you both so much for being here today. They have both made their lists of the best new books for kids. They're ready to share, and we will be posting this list later today on our website. We'll put it up on Facebook. We'll spread it around on Twitter, so don't worry if you don't get everything written down. But we're going to start with picture books. I think that's the best place to start. And Barb, I'll let you go first with your first pick.
Well, I don't think you have to buy every book, but I think every library should have the bear books. And the newest bear book is by Bonnie Becker, is a library book for bear. Now, bear is the curmudgeon of the world, and Mouse is always trying to expand his world. And he says, Mouse says, let's go to the library, and bear says, I don't really need to go. I already have nice books at my house. I have 3 books about kings and queens and 3 about honeybees and 1 about pickles. So he thought he had enough books. But he did decide to go along to the library where, of course, he doesn't know how to act at all and doesn't use the right voice and is yelling in the library. And Mouse is kind of beside himself. And all of a sudden, Bear hears the librarian reading a book to children on the other side of the bookshelf. And she says, Bear lifted the lid to the treasure chest and inside, and of course, he's totally captivated. And she invites him over to sit down to listen to the story. And inside, she says, was a mound of pickle slices. And each shining slice was made of diamonds and gold. And everyone shouted, hooray for the very brave bear. And then she said, the end.
Oh.
And Bear was beside himself. They go home with books in their basket. And then Bear, in front of the fire, is reading to the little mouse, The Very Brave Bear and the Treasure of Pickle Island. All of these books in this series are just winners. I just think they're brilliant.
All right. A Library Book for Bear by Bonnie Becker. And Sue, I know you picked some board books, too. We'll do those in a little bit. But let's start with your first picture book pick.
Okay. This book is so simple. It's hard to believe that it's worth its hardcover price. It's called Windblown, and it's by Edouard Menso. What appears to be simple is actually a very abstract sort of art lesson for little ones. And we have a chicken, a fish, a frog, a bird, and a snail, all claiming bits of paper that are being blown about and as part of their character. Now, when I see this, I instantly think, the teacher in me anyway, instantly thinks, oh, let's get a felt board out and make more creatures with these shapes. There is also a cumulative sort of house that Jack built tale that goes along with the illustration. And I think that anyone would be very wise to add this to their collection. It kind of would be a good match along with another French author, Hervé Toulet, who has done Press Here and Mix It Up, as well as many others coming out now, that, you know, for that future artist in your family.
And it sounds like the kind of thing where you could be inspired to try a lot of new things after you read it.
Absolutely. And it's open-ended enough to leave that inspiration there.
All right. So that's Wind Blown by Edouard Manseau. And Barb, we'll go to your next picture.
I'm going to My Teacher is a Monster. And on the front cover of Peter Brown's book is a great green monster. And she's saying, no, I'm not. And she's got terrible teeth. And Bobby is standing on his desk and his hair is standing up straight. And the fabulous thing about this book is it's beautifully designed, number one. And, of course, the perspectives. Robert throws a paper airplane, and you see this monster teacher yelling, Robert, and they are not great buds, I'll tell you that. He's in trouble all the time. Well, Robert loves to go to the park, and one day he goes there, and there is his monster teacher sitting on the bench with a great big hat on. And he wanted to run, and he wanted to hide, but he didn't. Pretty soon, she says, Robert, you don't need to raise your hand here. What were you going to say? I was going to say, hello, Miss Kirby. Hello, Robert. I like your enormous hat, Miss Kirby. Thank you, Robert. The wind blows that big hat away, and Robert traces after it and brings it back. And she says, oh, Bobby, you're my hero. And you start seeing the transformation of this teacher from that big green monster, suddenly, page by page, becoming more human. Now, Robert says, I want to show you my favorite place. And he takes her climbing up the big hill, and she hands him a piece of paper for a paper airplane, which is a perfect place for a paper airplane. By this time, that teacher is a human person, and they're a totally different person sitting on the bench. I think this is the kind of book you read the one time, and then all of a sudden you go back and say, wait a minute, what just happened here? And I love the author's illustration of himself on the back fly leaf. He's a monster head with funny looking hair and a green face. And he says, so maybe I can be a monster sometimes. Nobody's perfect. All books by this author are just really wonderful.
All right. That's My Teacher is a Monster by Peter Brown. My son's whole class created pictures of themselves as monsters after reading that book. So, again, it can inspire you to go a little bit farther. Sue, what's your next pick?
I'm in love with It's an Orange Aardvark, and I'm going to blow it here and tell you, it's a blue pajama wearing, red ketchup carrying, green gecko guiding, yellow dozer driving, orange aardvark pouring purple grape juice. Now you have the answer, but maybe you shouldn't believe me, and you probably want to find a wee one and sit and read this fabulous book together. It has little holes to stick fingers in. It has nice, bright colors and exciting repetitive phrasing in the book. You know, we have, for instance, goodness, I'm scared. Gracious me, too. Yikes, same here. It's just a people. And so we're going to repeat those goodness, gracious, yikes throughout the book and find a wonderful discovery at the end after these little ants, little carpenter ants. You know they're carpenter ants because they have hard hats on. bore their way through their stump to see what's out there. And this is a delightful one. Michael Hall did this, and it is reminiscent of maybe Louise Ellert or Lois, excuse me, or even Eric Carle a little bit in its bright, exciting pictures.
All right. So it sounds like something a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old would love.
Absolutely. And actually, I think you can go a little older with this one. It's so clever.
All right. Great. Barb, you're up next.
I'm doing an alphabet.
Oh, and I didn't repeat that. Sorry. It's an orange aardvark, Michael Hall. All right. You're next.
All right. Oliver Jeffers has done a brilliant alphabet book. It's oversized, number one. It's a bright orange red, brilliant. And each letter is kind of a little story. It's beautifully designed, and there are other threads that go throughout the book, an octopus. But here's an example of B. Bernard and Bob lived on either side of a bridge and for years had been battling each other for reasons neither could remember. One day, Bob decided to fix things so Bernard couldn't bother him by burning the bridge between them. But Bob learned an important lesson that day. He needed the bridge to get back. Anyway, this is pretty sophisticated, beautifully designed, wonderful paper, wonderful color, and one of those books that isn't just for the very young. It'll go with lots of adults too. Dennis just said he loves alphabet books, and I know he's going to put his nose in this one.
And it looks like a commitment to read that at bedtime.
That is a long one. Yeah, exactly.
Be careful.
But it's one you can go back to lots of times. That's the cool thing.
Very, very nice. All right. Once Upon an Alphabet, Short Stories for All the Letters by Oliver Jeffers. And let's go to your next one, Sue.
Well, I have a wacky tale that is based on an old-fashioned kids' party game called Telephone. Everybody remember that game?
Yes.
And Mark Barnett has written this very clever little book. And the illustrations really make it fly, though, and fly literally. We have birds sitting on a telephone wire passing a message down the line. And the birds are dressed up as aviators and baseball players and French maids and all sorts of characters. And there are lots of fun little things in the background as well to be looking for. But on each spread, there are kind of hints for how each bird's misinterpretation may come about. The message gets very convoluted, but never fear, the wise owl will straighten things out at the end.
Mm. Very nice. All right. Telephone by, it's Mark or Mac Barnett.
Mac
Barnett. All right. And back to you, Barb.
This one called Lindbergh, The Tale of a Flying Mouse, is by Torben Kuhlmann. I think it was originally done in German. And the front cover has the spirit of St. Louis on it and then a little mouse on top. It starts in Hamburg, Germany, and a little mouse has discovered the new contraption has killed most of the mice there. His whole population is wiped out, and he decides he better get out of there. So he starts designing airplanes. None of them really work. It takes many tries to get an airplane to get himself flying. And he flies across the Atlantic to New York City. One thing that's very – the illustrations in this book are just unbelievable. It's almost all sepia tones and really, really worth the read.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. In a way, it combines a graphic novel and a novel and a comic. I mean, it's kind of definitely – let's see. One of my friends bought it for her grandson, who's 4, because she loved it, and it could go way up, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can certainly see a 9 or 10-year-old digging into that and really loving the pictures.
I think it is just fabulous. Anyway, he does make it to New York, where he is welcomed by all the mice who haven't been caught in mouse traps there. He's got his little goggles
all
on.
Right, we've got to take a break. But that one is Lindbergh, The Tale of a Flying Mouse. We'll continue with the best kids' books for giving this holiday season. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, it's our annual holiday kids book show. We've got Sue Davis of River Lights Books in Dubuque and Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. We've so far been talking about picture books. We're going to talk a little bit more about picture books and board books and then some poetry and folklore and move on into maybe nonfiction, chapter books, all of that good stuff. So take notes, but we will also be putting this list online later today so you can find out about the books that you're most interested in. And Sue, we're going to go back to you with another picture book.
All right. On my list, and I don't even have a copy in front of me because I can't stop selling it, is the book called Maddie's Fridge. It's by Lois Brandt. It's her first foray into picture books. And I have been on a soapbox about this book since it came out in September. I'm sure our Facebook friends know that. We spent a whole week on it. The book contains an important message about childhood hunger, but it's a picture book. It never gets preachy or it doesn't seem like an issue book at all. It's a story about two friends who play at the playground and get along, and they go to one girl's house. They go over to Maddie's house, and there's very little in the fridge. And Maddie's embarrassed and asks her friend Sophia to not tell anyone that this is, you know, how the condition at her house. And she makes her promise. Well, they go, she goes home and feels terribly guilty about all the wonderful food, healthy food they have at their house, and even their dog has lots of food, and ponders this again and again. She tries to help her friend by taking food to her, and one of the favorite passages is from the book is at the playground when this has happened, and it is, "Yuck," Maddie said. "Double yuck," Sophia said. "Eggs may be good for kids, but eggs are not good for backpacks." And this happens again with Fitch.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So this is, that's part of the story as, and it goes on, and what, you know, Sophia decides to do. But this is all supported by these joyful illustrations by Vin Vogel, who has another book coming out, but I looked and I believe it's his first, at least major release of a picture book. The it shows this hipster city with yoga studios and musicians and bikers and all that going on, and lots to look at. And then almost a cartoonish image of these girls in their homes, but that kids just love. And it lightens the, you know, this whole what's happening, the storyline, and there are other little subplots too that are fun to watch.
Maddie,
Maddie's fridge, and we have, you know, this also is about, you know, keeping secrets, what's important, and one of my favorite, sweetest moments is when. Sophia does decide to tell her mother and see if they can help. And when she sees Sophia or Maddie again, Maddie says, "You broke your promise." "I'm sorry," Sophia said. "Are you mad?" "A promise is important," Maddie said. "You're more important," Sophia said. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just a beautiful, sincere way to handle this. And it is a delightful book with a very important message.
All right, Maddie's Fridge by Lois Brandt, illustrated by Vin Vogel. And we need to kind of hurry our way through some more of the picture books. So why don't I let you do a couple at a time there, Barb?
Okay.
And we'll just be brief, but we could talk about picture books all day. Maybe next year we will divide it, and we'll do picture books one day and chapter books another day.
This one's The Book with No Pictures by B.J. Novak. I don't watch television, so I don't know B.J. Novak, but he is apparently on The Office. And this is sort of like the first time The Pigeon Drives the Bus came out. The five-year-olds listening to that story knew that someone was talking to them. They would roll on the floor in laughter and then
shout,
say, "Read that again,"
right?
And
yep.
Shout. And oh, they loved that. And this is like this because it is talking to the kid, and what thing seems to be the appeal is that there are no pictures. It's all black and white, and there are lots of crazy words. And I think that kids are going to love it when somebody reads this out loud. Blork. Wait, what? That doesn't even mean anything. Blurf. Wait a second. What? This isn't the kind of book I wanted to read. And I have to say every word the book says. Uh-oh. And this is just really taking the world by storm, I think. And it came out fairly recently. So that's a good one. And then Max and Ruby at the Warthog's Wedding. Max and Ruby are favorite characters for me. I love them. Rosemary Wells. In this one, Max, of course, does not want to go to the wedding. He's supposed to be in it. And Ruby can't wait to wear her dress. And Grandma finally arrives and gets Max in his little suit. He wants to play with his gobstopper, and he's shooting things around, and Grandma gets that out of his hands. But one of the fun things is there's a little flap that's green and has a carrot with a bite out of it that's the eye bunny. And that's Grandma's eye bunny. And when you open the flap, it has our GPS stuff on it.
Nice.
To get to the wedding. And it is very funny. And my last picture book is Waiting Is Not Easy by Mo Willems, one of our treasures in the United States. I think there are 20 more Elephant and Piggy. Right. And this one is a perfect one for this time of year. Waiting is not easy. And the wait is what Piggy wants to share is the beautiful night sky. Oh. And they both decide it really was worth the wait.
And Barb, one of the reasons that I love those books is they seem to be just so intuitive for emergent readers.
Yes.
Because of the speech bubbles.
Yes.
In the books.
And I mean, the thing that's really brilliant is that they are tender. They are funny. They're just a perfect book for all kinds of ages, 3 to 6 or so in there. And the early readers are perfect for that.
All right. That takes care of picture books for Barb. And how about the board books you picked, Sue?
Well, first one is an adaptation, as most are, and it's called Who is Driving by Leo Timmers. And this is animals. The reader is trying to figure out which animal goes with which vehicle. And of course, there are clues. For instance, the pig is going to drive the tractor and the giraffe is going to drive the convertible. We can kind of guess on those. But we also have the delight of all the automobile sounds with the putt, putt, putt and the zoom and all noises, you know, boom, 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 that can be made for fun little ones.
All right. And that sounds like a lot of fun. I know a 2-year-old who could get into that.
Oh, yeah, it's delightful. The other one is that Nina Layden has come out with a new addition to her Peek-A-Hoo series that's been around for quite a while, but this one is Peek-A-Zoo. And there are little peeking holes that you guess what's coming up. And, for instance, we have this time around Peek-A-Kangaroo and Peek-A-Cockatoo. And then it ends again with the Mylar mirror in the back, so you are going to peek a you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is now a stuffed doll that goes with them and a wonderful, very sturdy little matching game. And so I love to see that when a quality book comes out that they expand it so kids can enjoy it in many ways.
Authors love to see that too.
Yeah.
All right, so that Who is Driving by Leo Timmers and then Peek-A-Zoo by Nina Layden, and there are lots of places you can go if your kids love those. And Sue, why don't we stay with you and tell us about a poetry book that you picked.
Well, I fell in love with this from the minute I saw it. It is Goodnight Songs, and these are previously unpublished lullabies by Margaret Wise Brown. And Sterling, the publisher, has gathered 12 wonderful children book illustrators to illustrate each of a different one for each of the lullabies. And so that kind of makes it a keepsake as well. The bonus along this is that a CD is included for us well-meaning but off-key singers.
Very nice. All right. How about you picked a poetry book too, right?
I did, and mine's the holiday book that I picked, new ones. It's Poems Manger, Poems Selected by Lee Bennett Hopkins, and it's beautifully designed. The illustrations are really breathtaking. It's the animals who were in the manger, and there's a poem for each of the animals and their perspective of the Christ child's birth. So we have a horse on Christmas Eve, the night unique. They say we beasts find tongues to speak. Yet at this crib I am so stirred that staring I can say no word. And this is beautifully illustrated and a wonderful treasure this year, I think, for holiday time.
All right, that's Manger by Lee Bennett Hopkins. You also picked a folklore. And, of course, there's always new folklore that comes out.
I love folklore. I think there can't be enough ever. This is the Wise Fool, Fables from the Islamic World. And this really talks about a character who is common in many, many, many countries. First presented as Mullah Nasruddin, and then also called several other names. So maybe people know him as Mullah, but also as Khoja, Hoja, Hoja, Khawaja. And sometimes he's a fool, but he's usually very wise. Sometimes he gets in trouble. And these are all kinds of little short stories, wonderful illustrations, And some are very funny and some are very serious and definitely worth a look.
All right. We're talking about the best new books for kids this hour. With me is Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City and Sue Davis of River Lights Books in Dubuque. Let's move into nonfiction. There are so many amazing nonfiction books for kids. And Sue, what's your first nonfiction pick?
Well, Ashley Bryan's Puppets, and its subtitle is Making Something from Everything, which I love that. And Ashley Bryan has been creating these magnificent puppets. They're about 2 feet tall from all the detritus that he has found on beaches and sidewalks for years. And someone finally, they were going to do a photo book of these. And I believe an editor suggested, why don't you write a poem about each one? So he gave each one an African name and then wrote a poem in first person to go with all but three. The reason being, you might want to write your own. And the reader is also hopefully inspired by the last bit in the book that says to look around and find your own creation. Mm.
And these creations, they're not like paper bits. I mean, these puppets are just remarkable works of art. And you can see what they're made of, but it's kind of mind-boggling to see it all put together.
Yeah, truly.
Ashley Bryan's Puppets, Making Something from Everything. And what's your first nonfiction pick?
My first one is Tiny Creatures, The World of Microbes. It's by Nicola Davies, who often writes wonderful science books. And I think there is so much in the news about microbes, certainly with our diseases and so on. This puts, in a simple way, describes how microbes multiply, how they're on our skin, what they look like. And it's just beautifully designed and I think a wonderful introduction to a science topic.
And these are illustrations. They're not photographs.
That's right. All right. It is an illustrated book, not a photograph.
Neat. That one is Tiny Creatures, The World of Microbes by Nicola Davies. And we're back to you, Sue.
Well, what child wouldn't want to vanish their homework or scare the pants off their parents or levitate their brother? Talk about hitting kids in their desires. And that is a magician who started quite young. Joshua Jay has made this huge book in a very old fashioned feel. It's lovely. Called Big Magic for Little Hands. And it truly is. This would be ages 7 and up, I would say. And there's not a lot of prep time, and you don't have to be really coordinated to put on these 25 different illusions. And I think it would be a lot of fun and just a big hit at the holiday family.
Have you tried any of the tricks?
No, I have not, but I have a young neighbor who is all set to give me a show.
Oh, very exciting. Big Magic for Little Hands by Joshua Jay. And the cover is so much fun. I mean, it looks like a flyer for a circus in 1935 or something like that.
I can see your little guy doing that.
Yes, I could see that too. All right, Barb.
My next one is the National Wildlife Federation's World of Birds, a beginner's guide. And this is so much more than just an identification guide. I would say most of the birds in here are really from, we can find them in Iowa. There are lots of tidbits about each bird, what to feed them, where they go in the winter, birds that are like that other bird. And I'm going to give this to an adult friend because she's a birder and has lots of birds in her backyard. And I think that she'll get a bang out of this. And I think that every family could see out of their own windows and see many of the birds described here in Iowa. So that's a wonderful
one. Well, and it's nice because it's thin.
A good
and
size.
Accessible.
Yeah. Yes.
So you're not feeling overwhelmed. If you try to give your child a birder's guide, I have done this in the past. They get kind of scared. Like,
yes.
There are this many birds?
Yeah.
Oh, my. So that one is World of Birds by Kim Kirkie. And back to you, Sue.
Well, I love Melissa Sweet's illustrations and her fuchsia and teal and these bits of vintage collage and wonderful typeface. have really blown me away on this one. It is, this is Roger and his thesaurus, The Right Word. And Jen Bryant wrote the story, and they've worked together on River of Words that was also magnificent. But this is a just beautiful, even the end pages grab me. I would love to frame them and put them on the wall. Mm-hmm. It is the story of a very shy, contemplative little boy who finds comfort in making lists of words. And that is what becomes the thesaurus. And the beautiful thing about it is that, you know, he had a tough life, and finding solace in something like this is a gift. And I think that today we would put a label on him, but in this time, fortunately, his mother and some people directed him into a way to order his world.
That's The Right Word, Roger and His Thesaurus by Jen Bryant, illustrated by Melissa Sweet. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got a couple more nonfiction books to talk about, and then we'll move on to chapter books. We're talking about the best new books for kids this holiday season with Sue Davis of River Lights Books in Dubuque and Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, it's our annual holiday kids book show. Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City is here, along with Sue Davis of River Lights Books in Dubuque. And we're going to finish up our nonfiction section. I know you've got a couple left on your list, Barb. What do you have?
I have Here's the World, A Year of Jewish Holidays by Leslie Newman. I just sent this as a baby gift. It has a double-page spread on every holiday, beautifully illustrated with wonderful paintings, and probably for very young children. It has recipes and activities in the back, so you can make Seder placemats, you can find an edible Torah, you can make a challah cover. So there's lots of things and more information about the holidays themselves. So that's a wonderful gift. I want to talk about bedtime math. This time it's personal. Laura Overdeck. This is the second one. And what this family discovered with their young children is that they didn't feel as strongly about math as they did about reading. So their family started doing a nightly math problem. And they're very, very funny paragraphs that present a story problem. And then the levels are leveled as a question for the wee ones, that will be the preschoolers, the little kids, the big kids, and sometimes a bonus one. So the wonderful thing about her books is, number one, she didn't make it into a book until all of her friends said, we want those. We want those written up so we can do them at our house. And then they got 20,000 people following them on Facebook. Then they made books. And now not only can you buy book one and book two, but they also have a website where people are adding lots of things. And they're just very funny, like Snack Attack. As soon as someone came up with the idea of bite-sized salty snacks, the chip, the cheese pup, the mini pretzel, we are all in trouble because it's hard to eat just one. And then it tells a little bit about this. And whether your favorite snack is the potato chip, the mini pretzel, or the cute little crunchy goldfinch, chances are you never eat just one. The wee one challenge is, if you're choosing between pretzels, potato chips, and nuts, how many snack choices do you have? The little kids one is, if you're looking at three crunchy goldfish and they're looking back at you, how many fish eyes are looking at you? Assume that even snack fish have two eyes apiece. The big kids, if a box of 36 snack packs has 10 goldfish packs and 10 potato chip packs, how many packs of other snacks are there? Bonus, if a cup can hold 40 goldfish or 20 mini pretzels, which way do you score more snack pieces, getting 3 cups of fish or 5 cups of pretzels? And they're all like that, and it really is just genius.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. That's bedtime math, too. This time it's personal. And I want to move into chapter books. And we've got a little mix of chapter books for different ages. And you both have one book on your list. So, Sue, I'll let you start with that one. And we've got a little bit of overlap, which I think is a double recommendation.
Well, and the nice thing about Nuts to You is that it is for a young age, in those beginning chapter books, lots of wonderful illustrations, and a perfect read aloud
just, you know, so well, the phrasing, the rhymes, not so much rhymes, but cadence, I would say, is perfect. It's an adventure tale starring squirrels. And not just any author can pull that off, but Lynn Ray Perkins has done it so well. It's clever and funny. And I'll read just from the back that gives you the tone of the book, in which four squirrels find out what they're made of. Friendship, courage, big ideas, also nuts. And I mean that in a good way.
All right. Nuts to You by Lynn Ray Perkins. And you put a couple of transitional books on your list, Barb. And how do you define transitional quickly?
Transitional can really be in that place where you really aren't going to deal with content that's too maybe scary for some, or too adult, or too grown up. Maybe a first grader has learned to read and can read a chapter book. Then you want to look at transitional books because you want them to develop fluency and speed and have a decent story. Lots of these are about friends, family, school stories, pet stories.
Right, that so the kind of Ivy and Bean books,
yes,
and things
exactly.
like that. Okay.
Clementine, Magic Treehouse. Well, I put two on. John Sieska has been a champion for getting boys to read, and his new series, Frank Einstein and the Antimatter Motor, is a robot story, and it's very funny. And then Sally Warner did L. Ray Jakes' Rocks the Holidays. And this is unusual because there aren't many transitional books that really have African-American characters. And L. Ray is an African-American character, and he is just a wonderful kid. And in this one, when he rocks the holidays, he's going to be the MC at the school assembly. And his friend makes a challenge that is pretty rough for him, that he wants him to ruin the whole event. And El Rey has to make a decision. And I love this because in the end, he says, I'll decide when I'm going to blend in and when I'm going to stand out. And that is a great message.
Nice. All right. Frank Einstein and the Antimatter Motor was the first one. And then L. Ray Jakes' Rocks the Holidays by Sally Warner. And that's part of a series?
That's a series. It's got maybe 10 books.
All right. That's great. And, you know, actually, I find those series to be harder to find for boys than for girls, which is an interesting problem that I've encountered.
Well, El Rey is good.
That don't include boogers.
Well,
no,
I think
hard,
we have
it?
To just allow boogers. All right. What's your next chapter book pick, Sue?
Okay. I have chosen Scavengers, and this is by Michael Perry. He is an adult humorist, and many people around the Midwest are familiar with his books, and he has taken on a middle reader level this time, and this is the first of two, and it is called The Scavengers. And our book's heroine and her family live outside the bubble-protected city, and they have to scavenge and barter to survive. There is a lot of humor here. There is a lot of mystery and adventure, and the girl at the center of this story is a 12-year-old, and she, after finding an old beat-up Ford Falcon car in the dump, she decides she's going to rechristen herself Ford Falcon. and of course her mother still calls her Maggie, but and that she's going to be strong and help with their lives. And it's just very well done. He Perry manages to mix in info on, you know, climate change and GMO crops and some political corporate political information there too, that you see this as, oh, this maybe isn't so far in the future. So that's been a good one, and we have enjoyed selling that to both boys and girls. There, of course, is a great brother figure in here, too.
And you said it's one of two, so the second one's not out yet.
There will be a second one, yeah, and that won't be out until, I'm not positive, but I think maybe next summer or fall.
All right. The Scavengers by Michael Perry. And back to you, Barb.
I'm going to be quick about my novels. This is The Night Gardener. A lot of people think this might be the Newbery. We'll see what happens. It's a very atmospheric Victorian novel with mystery and ghosts. And it's about a brother and sister who get separated from their family. around the time of the Irish potato famine, and they are riding in a horse cart coming to try to get work at a manor house, and everyone along the way is saying, don't go there, don't go there. And they get there. Molly is 14. She's a wonderful little housekeeper, and her brother is working in the garden. And they notice the family keeps getting paler and paler, and there's something evil in this house. So this is fantasy. It has a little historical fiction. It's definitely Victorian and very, very well written.
A little scary, too, it sounds like. Spooky. Keep you up at night. All right. The Night Gardener by Jonathan. How did you say his last name?
I didn't. I didn't say it. Okay. Auxerre.
Auxerre. A-U-X-I-E-R. And what's your next pick, Sue?
Well, I would have to say that one of a very powerful novel that kids at fourth grade and up would get into is by our old friend Ann Martin of the Babysitter's Club. And it is called Rain, Rain. Mm-hmm. And this centers on a high-functioning autistic girl, and she has a unique way of dealing with her world. She follows rules strictly, and she plays with words, homonyms. Therefore, R-A-I-N and R-E-I-G-N is how the title is spelled. Her teachers don't understand her and what makes her tick, and her classmates, of course, make fun of her. But then there is a dog. And every good story should have a dog, and a dilemma that she must face. And that's where I'm going to leave you. It's a heart-rendering story, but it does give you faith in people. So I would highly recommend this one.
All right. Rain, Rain by Ann Martin, and that's R-A-I-N-R-E-I-G-N. And back to you, Barb.
All right. The Misadventures of the Family Fletcher by Dana Allison Levy is a very unusual book because it's very old-fashioned, like the Penderwick series in a way. Only this family, there are two dads and four adopted children from different parts of the world. And the children, they're all boys, and they are 12, 10, 10, and 6. And each one of those boys has something big they're dealing with. The oldest boy is the famous soccer player at his school, and he decides to try out for a play, and boy, does he take heat from his social group. The 10-year-olds each have something going on. One is trying to do an interview with a neighbor who doesn't want to talk to him. The 6-year-old has an imaginary friend. Anyway, there is great humor, sensitivity, love. It's a wonderful book.
Well, and I loved the Penderwick, so that sounds great. What's your next one, Sue? And this was one that's getting a lot of press everywhere, and rightly so.
I know. And it's, you know, this is one of those that I just turn to the first page and open it and let the customer start to read, and I don't have to say anything else.
Yep.
It is a memoir, Jacqueline Woodson's memoir in verse, her story of growing up African-American in the 60s and 70s, in both the North and the South. She has family in both places. And this has just won the National Book Award. And without saying too much other than it's beautiful, poetic masterpiece, that do not miss this book. This is wonderful. And adults as well. I particularly was touched having grown up in that time. So it's a great one.
We were just talking about it before the show, and Barb was saying that she's finding adults passing it from adult to adult without even giving it to the kids in their lives. So it'll make it there eventually, hopefully.
Yes, it will.
All right. Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson, and again, just won the National Book Award. And what's next? You've got two more chapter books on your list. Why don't we?
If you don't mind, I'm going to do one of my teen ones and one of my mid. Kenneth Opel's The Boundless. I was just entranced from day one. It's about a boy who sets out in the world. He happens to save his father's boss from an avalanche in the Pacific Northwest while the railroad's going through in the late 1800s. And he gets onto a train. This train, the Boundless, is almost 1,000 car lengths long. It has a whole section of circus cars. It has a funeral car in the middle of it that has only he has a key to. There's a murder. There are bad guys all over the place. There's a wonderful characters. I couldn't put it down. And that, I think, could go down fifth grade, fourth grade, maybe. The other one is in my teen section, and it's called Van Gogh, Between Sky and Earth, by Timothy de Fombelle. And it is high adventure as well. The setting is 1934 Paris. Van Gogh, this mysterious character, is lying on the ground with 39 other people in white suits. They are about to be ordained as priests. All of a sudden, he rises up, and all of a sudden, everyone's after him, and he's scaling Notre Dame like the Spider-Man on the side. And he is a character that everybody's after, and we don't know why. And it goes, it's Nazi times. It's high adventure for teens and adults, too. It's another hard one to put down.
All right, Van Gogh, Between Earth and Sky by Timothy de Fombelle. And you have a young adult pick, too.
I do. And I have long been a big fan of Meg Wolitzer, and she's a favorite writer of adult fiction. And I was thrilled to hear she was writing young adult, but a little concerned. But she nails it. She really gets the feelings and emotions of teens. And this story is called Bell Jar, and intentional takeoff on Bell Jar. Mm. And it is about a young girl who is sent to a school for the very intelligent yet emotionally fragile. And something has happened. She's suffered a loss and she can't get over it. And so she's sent to this school and they have special classes. And it just is magical in what happens and what you discover about Jan is her name, and discover about her along the way. I would suggest bundling this with Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar and giving it to a teenager, and I'm talking, sophomore and up, and you will be considered the favorite aunt or godmother or whatever this holiday season.
All right, Bell Jar by Meg Wolitzer, and that's B-E-L-Z-H-A-R. We're almost out of time, so I'm going to let you each just pick one that's left on your list. We'll publish the whole list on our website, iowapublicradio.org, later today. But Barb, the one you want to mention before we go.
Well, I don't want people to miss Sisters. That is a graphic novel, and it is so nails family relationships. You know, the older sister who always wanted a sibling, and when she finally gets one, oh my gosh. She and her mom and the sister are traveling by VW bus to go to Colorado from California for a family reunion. And I mean, there's a snake that gets loose because her little sister gets, you know.
And it's a graphic novel.
It's a graphic novel. And this is, they said, really one of the highest sellers that's ever happened. The one she did before is called Dream, I believe. Anyway, if you love graphic novels, and I don't, I have a hard time reading them. This was the first time I really could read one and really enjoyed it. And that one and the other one that's out right now called El Defo is the other graphic novel that's wonderful, that people who haven't had good success will be successful with both these.
All right. Well, we are out of time. Barb Stein, thank you so much. Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Sue Davis, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sue Davis of River Lights Books in Dubuque. And we will publish both lists in their entirety on our website, iowapublicradio.org. Thank you both for being here today. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.